Welcome to the conversation. We're going to get right into it. My name is Graham Nystrom, and today is not going to be a live call-in show. Instead, we have candidates for Clatsop County Commissioners joining us. This is Kathleen Sullivan and Courtney Bangs. And so I'm going to ask a few questions of each of them, and they're going to get about 12 minutes to talk about themselves and their candidacy for office. And so I hope you tune in, and I hope you're registered to vote, and I do hope you vote both in the primary and in the election. So thanks for joining us on the conversation. And first up, we have Kathleen Sullivan. Hi, Kathleen. Are you there?
Hi, Graham. How are you doing? I'm here.
I'm great. Thanks. Yeah. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So just going to dig right in, and I'll let you and Courtney, who's on hold at the moment, know that this is my first time doing candidate interviews, so I'm probably more nervous than you are, if that helps. So first off, Kathleen, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your work experience, and your political experience.
Okay. Well, I was born in Michigan. I grew up in a small farming community in central northern Michigan, and I was a teacher for a number of years, and I've also worked in hospitality for a number of years. So I have that experience, and then I'm in my fourth year as the county commissioner. And I've been fortunate to live in the different places that I've lived in, but I just have just found Oregon to be a wonderful place to be, and I am so impressed with this area and how beautiful it is and how involved and active the folks are, and I really have just loved being here.
Great. And so how long have you been county commissioner for Clatsop County?
I was elected in 2016, and you get sworn in January. So January of 2017, I've been in office. Before that, I served on the budget committee in Astoria.
And any other office that you've ever run for before, or is this your first time in a seat like this?
This is the first time in this seat, but I've always been tuned in to what was going on in the communities that I lived in, and I've always voted. I voted in every election. I'm interested in community and how all of that works.
So let me ask you next. When you ran in 2015, 2016, and now as you run again, why did you originally choose to run, and why do you choose to run again?
Well, I had been involved in the community here when I moved out to Oregon in 2004, and I came to Clatsop in 2007. And at that time, there was a lot of activity going on, and I was involved with that and just involved with the different local elections. And so when the seat that I am in now came up, as you know, the positions in Clatsop County are basically volunteer positions, and so it can sometimes be difficult to it requires a lot of time and effort, but a lot of people that are busy with their lives have a hard time finding that time. And when this seat came open, I thought, well, I'd be interested in doing that. I'd like to try that. I have the time, I have the commitment, and I think that the background that I have, so that's why I decided to run.
And so your top priorities or your main goals if reelected?
Well, my top priority is to just continue to manage this situation with COVID-19. I mean, we haven't ever faced this before, and it's going to be with us for a while. So the number one priority is to do the best we can to manage that, and that means getting funding into our community and supporting the businesses and supporting the medical services. So that's the number one thing. But in the background, we still continue to do all the essential services that the county provides, which is quite a number. And we need to make sure that those continue going forward, too.
Kathleen, do you approve of the county's actions so far in the response to the COVID situation?
Oh, yes. I think it's difficult for everyone, but I think we have just got a top-notch team. I've just been so impressed with how hard everyone's been working and how much we have been able to put together. It's been very impressive of how much collaboration has been going on between the county and the cities and the other counties. I've been on, census has begun, I've been on a number of meetings on a daily basis, basically. We've been on meetings with the governor, with the county, with the state. It's just an amazing amount of collaboration, and I think that's a good thing.
Great. I would like to ask, if there was something about current county policy that's something that you would change if you could, aside from the COVID-19, outside of COVID-19 land, is there anything in current county policy that you would change?
Before COVID-19, and we're going to continue with it, but we have this wonderful opportunity that we've begun to look at our comprehensive plan, and we're working with the Hatfield School of Government out of PSU, and we've started that process, and we will continue that process, and so that will kind of look at how we're functioning and what we want to do going forward. But so I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about once we continue the work. I know that the planning department is continuing, but on the comprehensive plan, I think that's a great opportunity also.
Let's talk affordable housing for just a second, and I apologize if I didn't prep you with this question, but it came up from someone in our news department today. So we have an excellent housing study completed over a year ago.
Yes.
How should local officials be using the study to improve the lack of affordable housing? Is there anything the county commission can realistically do to address the affordable housing issue?
Well, I think everyone's aware that housing is a national issue, and it's particularly acute on the coastal, states, East Coast and the West Coast, and it's a particular problem in our area. And again, I have to go back to collaboration. The county deals with unincorporated areas, but we would be working with cities as they work with that problem. And there has been some advancements. One is the way that we look, it's a county property. Can some of that be used for housing? But it's multi-leveled. But the most important thing is that we want to have housing for our workers in town. We also want to have housing for families that, if their kids go off to school, that they can come back and they can afford to come and raise their families here. Because people want to be able to... It'd be so nice to go in town and see your grandchildren instead of having to drive three hours away. So housing is just absolutely essential, and we need to do all we can to improve the options.
So, I mean, I know that that's just such a difficult topic, but there's no, sort of concrete, here's an idea we've been looking at, we think it's a possibility, or is it just we acknowledge that this is a big problem and we would love to find a solution?
Well, in the short term, we recently approved funding for to help some of the organizations that are helping with the folks that are unsheltered. Beyond that, when I got on, I said, why can't we look at foreclosed property in a different way? And so there was one where we work with Community Action, and then there's another one that we work with Golby, and that the house that the fourplex that Golby got is now a treatment. It's housing for women in treatment or in recovery with their children. I know that Pastor Bill here in town, his church and his community people have been working on a building downtown to get that into housing. I know the Merwin, they're working on that. But again, all of these things, you know, there's housing going up, you know, in Warrenton. I just know that I sit on the house. We're working on it, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't have any specific.
Well, I look forward to some updates. Let's see. From my experience in working in groups and group decision making on boards or as a staff, you know, getting along with folks is important. So I wanted to ask what values or characteristics you think lend people to being a good and effective and strong leader. What are some values or personal characteristics that you appreciate in a candidate and in folks that you would be working with at the county level?
Well, I think number one, you have to have good listening skills. I think that's essential. I think you also need to have patience. And I think you also you need to do your homework. You need to come to meetings prepared. And that involves, you know, that there's a lot, there's work to that. But you also have to the part about listening is so that you hear what other people say and you can make a better decision if you can bring in all the different things that come into play to making a decision and working with each other. And I think you also have to have a certain amount of grace, willing to display grace and forgiveness for yourself and for each other. You know, it's not an easy process to be making decisions in public. But that's the good thing about our system in America is that we have transparency in our government and we have citizen involvement and it all works well together.
You mentioned that this position is essentially a volunteer position, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
On average, what would you say your typical weekly or monthly workload is like? Is it 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week or 10 hours a week? How much time do you spend at this job?
I would, for myself, minimally, it's 20 hours a week. Since it's COVID-19, it's been a full-time job. So.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, just maybe a minute and a half left. Wanted to touch on one thing that I think is becoming important with the COVID crisis is access to high-speed internet, especially in rural areas. And so I understand that the Clatsop commissioners considered forming a PUD several years ago. Infrastructure development cost projections and pushback from Pacific Power quickly quieted those conversations. Are there other pathways to broadband access that you would pursue? Is this something that you consider a priority? Is there work that's been done already that you know of?
Well, broadband is absolutely a priority for me, and I know that we are going to have that. We're going to discuss that in the strategic plan update. But I also know, like out in my area, in my district, Napa is there are Napa and Swenson. There's people that are working with an organization out of Class 9 to do kind of satellite. I don't have it in front of me, but it would be kind of like a co-op. And I guess it's been up and running in Class Can I. I've also sat in on the month or so ago with on a call on, particularly on broadband. Tillamook is a little further ahead than we are. So there's people that are actively working on it, and I'm staying in the loop of that. But it's not going to be overnight. And again, it's just it's another thing that we have to work in concert with community partners and other people. I know Senator Merkley has earmarked money to help rural communities get broadband because this is Business Oregon has been working on this issue for decades. This is not new. It's just become more apparent because of the COVID-19. It's become so obvious and that more people are interested in now, and I think that'll help us move it forward.
Great. Well, I'm glad that that's a priority, and that is all the time we have for your segment, so we'll pass things along to Courtney in just a second, but thank you, Kathleen, for joining us.
And I wanted to thank you, and I wanted to thank KMUN. I just think it's a wonderful resource in our community, and I'm so grateful that we have a community radio station and all the hardworking volunteers, and I've been a member since I got here, so thank you for inviting us on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. My name is Graham Nystrom. I'm the host, and today we're interviewing candidates for Clatsop County Commissioner. We just heard from Kathleen Sullivan, and now we'll hear from Courtney Bangs. Hi, Courtney.
Good morning. Hi, how are you, Graham?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
I think my stock answer is always, I'm great, all things considered.
Exactly. I totally understand that.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and we're going to get right in so that you get your full equal time. Setting the timer now, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your work experience, and your political experience.
Excellent. So a little bit about my background. I went to Oregon State and graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in 2003, and I got my Master's of Science in Agriculture Education in 2005. In 2007, I moved here and married my best friend that I met at Oregon State, close to, I would say, 1999. We'd been friends for quite a long time. I've taught high school agriculture and FFA. I took a short retirement, though, due to some of the child care issues we were facing in our community. Just three kids under the age of five and trying to have a professional job is pretty difficult out here. So anyhow, I came out of retirement when my son was four to teach preschool for our Napa Community Church here. It's actually called Emmanuel Community Preschool. It's been here for quite a number of years. So I've taught there for about 3 years. I've also taught dance and tumbling locally here at a fabulous dance studio for, I think I'm going on 12 years now. So that's just a little bit about my work history. I have zero political experience. I actually kind of think that is awesome, all things considered. I've been here since 2007, and I've lived and invested in this community and in its children since I got here. So anyhow, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've never run for office before, and so I'll ask you, why did you choose to run for this position now?
Well, about a year ago, I call it the cap-and-trade debacle. It really brought my focus onto what is happening to our community and potentially could happen to us here locally. I started to investigate, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And then I began to become frustrated because I really felt like our working families and our middle-class families, farmers, natural resources, all of these people were going to be heavily impacted by some pretty serious legislation. And that is what dialed me into what was going on. And then as I started to dig a little bit deeper, I started to realize that there were a lot of decisions being made that could have potentially pretty negative consequences on working families, on my family, on all of us. You know, when you look at decisions being made and you can see that there will be a potential economical impact 4 years later, that decision shouldn't be made. And so just solving problems needs to be a priority, but solving those problems with the least amount of negative effect should be also a priority. So that is what actually dialed me into wanting to run for a local office.
Great. So HB 2020 was what lit the fire under you. And so at this point, what do you think the important issues should be right now for people on the county commission?
Well, obviously, COVID-19 is an issue that is in front of the county commission right now. I think the priority for them at this point is to make sure that we can fulfill that checklist that Governor Brown has set before us. I think that that should be our main priority. Make sure that, you know, our local small businesses are prepared to be reopened. They have whatever it is that is required, thermometers, you know, PPE, all of these things. Make sure that all of our local businesses are prepared. Have open communication with those local business members. Just really dial in. Get prepared. Become ready. That way, when we get the go-ahead, we're set. I've been reading over the last 24 hours all of Governor Brown's checklist. And I feel like, you know, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. And I'm getting excited for our local businesses. And then also, I think what we also should do as a county commission is dig into our budget from last year. Do we have any funds that we haven't spent? Are there any, you know, areas that we didn't use all of our budget money for? Because right now would be a time to look at our small businesses and say, hey, we have these extra funds. Let's offer, you know, a small business grant or a small business loan. I don't know if that's possible. That could be a pipe dream. But I'm looking at all of these small businesses that they're struggling to survive, obviously. They're struggling to pay their rent. And if we can somehow, as a county, look into our county budget and say, hey, we have this money. Could this possibly help? Again, that's a pipe dream. I'm not in the middle of that, so I can't push those thoughts, but at least I'm putting it out there, and I'm hoping that somebody is listening and can ask that question. So.
Asking questions and finding solutions is what it's all about. So aside from COVID-19, is there anything about current county policy that you would change if you could?
Well, to give a couple examples, when you look at our housing crisis, and it's a crisis, we have young professionals that would love to move to our area, would love to take a job, but they can't find a house for less than $250,000. So looking at the potential, I don't know if you would call it deregulation, or looking at streamlining somehow, possibly rezoning. Out here in Napa, we're stuck at RA2, and that means you have to buy a two-acre plot of land. That two-acre plot of land is expensive. That doesn't include a house. So then you have to build a house. Then you're looking at upwards of, you know, $250,000, if not $400,000, for a small three-bedroom house out here in Napa. And it would be awesome if maybe we could take certain sections of property that are already close to housing developments and say, hey, let's zone these RA.75, or let's rezone these so that the plots are going to be smaller, or let's deregulate over here so we could possibly build a duplex or a fourplex. One of our big struggles is teacher retention. And we can't retain teachers because we can't provide houses for them. And so they move off into another district where, A, they're going to make more money and they can pay, you know, less for rent. And so looking at our housing crisis and just coming up with some legitimate functional ideas and saying, hey, you know, let's try this, or let's look at this. Is this possible? I think bringing a new voice to the floor that says, is this possible? And if it is, let's get it done. Because we just need to make ourselves look more appealing to new business, to new people moving in, to new taxpayers. Let's increase our tax base. And that's just one example.
So let's stick with affordable housing for just a second. With that housing study that was completed a little over a year ago, is that something that you've dug into?
Well, so I saw the housing study, and actually I haven't had a chance to dig into it. My husband and I were just talking about it, you know, over this last weekend, that there was a housing feasibility study that was done. There hasn't been a whole lot of action on it, and I couldn't tell you why. And so that's kind of one of my goals, is to dig into that a little bit deeper. And another one of my goals is, we're talking about feasibility studies. I would really like to see a childcare or a preschool feasibility study done, because I feel like that is yet another area that isn't being addressed.
So childcare, housing, support for small businesses are some of your top priorities. Let's go back to COVID-19 for a second. And can I ask if, as far as the county's actions so far, are you in approval of the way that the county has handled the response to COVID-19?
I don't think our county has had a whole lot of choice in their response to COVID-19. We are kind of locked into whatever Governor Brown is willing to provide for us, or whatever is accessible to us. Recently, our rural legislators and senators wrote a letter to Governor Brown in regards to the CARE Act and the CARES Act and how we are not being served equally as other areas more I guess closer to the I-5 corridor are. And so I feel like we are kind of in we're stuck to the powers that be. I feel like our health department is doing the best that they possibly can. I obviously wish we could test more. I obviously wish that there was more availability. I wish that we, there's a lot of wishes here. But I feel like, you know, as a potential county commissioner, you have to trust your people. You have to trust the people that are working in the health department. You have to trust your county manager. You have to trust, you can't micromanage that. You have to trust that they're doing the best they possibly can. Now, granted, the purpose of being a county commissioner is also to be able to communicate. And I feel like as that position, communication is also key. Communication with your constituents, responding to your constituents via email, via phone call, responding to their concerns, making yourself kind of a highway of positive communication between your constituents and to those that are serving them. So, yeah, we're kind of, I think, stuck to the powers that be. I do believe that our health department and our hospitals are doing the best that they possibly can.
And so in the few minutes that we have left, let's touch on this topic of broadband accessibility in Clatsop County. Is there a pathway to access that you would pursue? Do you know of any work that has been done to date or any thoughts on that topic?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that topic since I'm living that topic every day. So over a year ago, my husband and I filed with the Better Business Bureau about the fact that our Wi-Fi, our broadband speed was so low. We characteristically can only stream at about a 3, and we pay for a 10 or more. Maybe it's 15 now. I haven't looked at our bill. And so we've been living that for a number of years. And we spoke with Betsy Johnson. We had a group of people out of Brownsmead that were putting together a please sign on this line if you are struggling with lack of broadband service. And we submitted that all with Betsy Johnson. I've been in regular communication with her about this issue. She's blessed me with a couple of lobbyist phone numbers, which I've also contacted. There's a co-op that is popping up. It's a great idea for some. I know for my family that co-op type broadband service is not going to work. Just because my husband is now working at home. We stream 100% of our television service. I have 3 children that are working on distance learning laptops. I myself am streaming and downloading videos for my teaching position. And so what that would do to us, because you pay on a gigabyte basis, you pay for each gigabyte individually, what that would do to us was our bill could potentially be $140 a month. And that doesn't include if you have children who download video games on their video game consoles. I mean, if you had a child that was just downloading those, not even the video game themselves, but the video game trials, they could spend 100 gigabytes in a day. And so that type of service is not going to be able to fix my family. I think what we really need to also address is making sure that we can get broadband service either via Charter or CenturyLink, or, I don't know, possibly give them a business it's infrastructure basis. We have the cable that is running down
Courtney,
the highway for Charter, but we can't access it.
I hate to interrupt, but we are running out of time here. So going to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us, and I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio.